Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, we take a look at some of the recent trades that have happened this past week. We'll also be looking at the Celebrity All-Star Game and conjure our own novelty game. We've done guards, centers, and power forwards. Now it's time to rate our top 10 small forwards. And of course, we'll be closely looking at the biggest news in the Knicks Association this year and give our views on the Oakley saga. And finally, we'll end with a DBS of some of the best power forwards the league has to offer. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busink at JBT Real NJ, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.17 on this Sunday, the 12th of February. And with me today, we have the J-Man J-Pod. Jack Manuel, how are we, mate?
I feel like an adult, Nicholas. I now am renting a house. Like, this is what adults do.
Well, look at you, moving in with, big man.
With a significant... Yeah, big man moving up in the world. It's a nice place, but one thing that I think is essential, and I was saying to you earlier in the week that I hope that I can save up enough money to afford to buy a PlayStation so I can play 2K against like you, Chaz, Kieran, and Magus. That'd be sweet.
That would be very nice to have you back on the 2K bandwagon, mate, so I can kick your ass with the Dream Team.
No, that ain't. Well, like, you would only be with the Dream Team, and I'd play as, like, you know, the 76ers.
Did you actually know of the time when me and Charlie, your brother, I don't know why I introduced him as your brother to you. It's more for the podcast.
I know he's my brother. I know
I played as the West All-Stars and he played as the 76ers. This is a 2K16, so the 76ers are the worst team in the NBA.
I think that
and
was
he won. He beat me. I was smacking him early. I was just... Curry could take threes from wherever, but he caught up and he won, the bastard.
It proves how terrible you are. But my 2K memories are of when me, you, Kieran, and Chaz were traveling around the States, and in San Francisco, I was versus Charlie, and we had like those two buzzer beater games.
Yeah, that was great.
Proceeded to do the party boy on me because I lost, which was not a very pleasant experience. Thank you very much, Kieran.
No, I can imagine not. But yeah, big times. Moving in with your lovely girlfriend, of course.
Yes.
Doing anything special for Valentine's Day, or was this the something special?
Nah, we'll be doing some little stuff. We went out, you know, for a bit of a drink and some hot dogs last night. Mate, this place had champagne. It specialised in champagne and hot dogs. It was a classy place, mate.
That's brilliant.
I'm sure you saw the picture on Facebook. Yeah, you'd love that shit. That's your kind of date as well. You'd love that shit.
Oh, damn right.
But now, I think for like Valentine's Day, we've actually got and you'll love this as well. We've got a table booked at this fried chicken restaurant, so I'm looking forward to that shit as well.
Oh my god.
Nothing
more romantic than than greasy fingers and greasy mouth when you're eating fried
chicken.
Damn straight,
mate. It's messy love is the best love.
Oh, that's brilliant.
What about you, mate?
Well, on the actual Valentine's Day, I'm going to be hanging with you know, Axl Rose and Slash and a few mates, because I've got tickets Guns N' Roses concert, which will be...
They aren't as...
Absolutely
as
brilliant.
Pretty as your lovely girlfriend Chelsea, though.
Of course not.
Well, Slash has nice hair.
He does. There's some luscious locks, and
Axl has aged horribly.
You know, I don't have to talk to you about Axl's fingering. Wait, not Axl's. Slash's fingering.
Hey, you know.
Sexual. Yes.
Conquest. Finger bang. You know what it reminds me of? Remember the South Park episode? Finger bang.
Finger
bang, bang,
bang,
and then
Kenny tells
They ask Carbon, what's finger banging? It's like, you know, when you go with your fingers and you make a gun, you go like, bang, bang, bang. And then Ken's like, that's not what finger banging is.
That's not what it is. And then he tells him, he's like, what?
Anyway. I'm talking about finger banging.
This got off topic quite quickly. That's for a later segment.
And that's clearly going to be the name of the episode.
Finger bang. Oh God. I'll figure something out. I'll figure something else out. Anyway, mate, let's get started here with some general news. We've got some roster changes in the NBA. The draft deadline is now over, I believe.
Nah, it's still got another. It's just after All-Star break, Nick.
February 22. Yep. My mistake, but it is coming to a close, so things are starting to happen at the moment. The Timberwolves have added Lance Stephenson to their roster on a 10-day contract, and the Cavs have picked up Derek Williams on a 10-day contract. Jack, what do you make of, first of all, the Timberwolves pick, Lance Stephenson? He was reportedly trying out for the Cavs team.
Cavs.
Yeah. So what happened there, Jack?
I think that I'm guessing Lance probably wanted a bigger role, and I think he's probably going to find a larger role at the Timberwolves. And he could even have like a sort of mentoring sort of. I like the fit. I mean, I like the league with Lance Stephenson. It's like he's got similar sort of like, you know, charisma to like a Swaggy P and stuff. But I like this by the Timberwolves. You know, they need the depth, and they certainly need some experience on that roster. And, you know, it can't hurt giving someone with some real talent like Lance Stephenson a 10-day contract. And in terms of the Cavs, Derek Williams, I was a bit perplexed by this. In the sense that I've seen Derek Williams play. I think we both saw him play when he was at the Knicks. I think that game he actually played against the Rockets. This guy can slash. He's got some really nice moves. He's a highlight reel sort of guy, but he's not really a playmaker, so to speak, which is what they've been after. He could certainly come off the bench and provide some real scoring prowess. But one thing I did like as well, I'm not sure the name of the player, but the Golden State Warriors picked up this really talented D-League player, I believe. And he is literally what the Cavs were sort of looking for. He's like an amazing playmaker. He knows how to give out dimes. I should have looked this up and put this in the Google Doc.
I know. I remember hearing about this as well, Jack. I know. I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
But did you read also as well, Nick, that the fact that part of the reason why the Golden State Warriors may have signed him was just so that the Cavs couldn't sign him.
So they couldn't sign him. It was kind of, playing the market there a little bit. So clever from the Golden State Warriors, yeah.
They know what they're doing down there. I like both of the. I prefer, if I was to pick who wins out of these two sort of roster additions, I would say the Timberwolves by far. But, you know, the Cavs just want to sort of, they need to please LeBron, and they need to just do some things because Golden State are a scary proposition right now.
Mm. I mean, if you look back at Lance Stephenson's back in his Indiana days, he played, you know,
he was
played
great.
He would play 30 minutes a game, played 80, started about 80 games, so you can't ask more. He was a legitimate starter, 50% fit from the field. He was a good player. Easily, so
he was a very good player.
Yeah, and for that shooting guard position, which is, you know, lacking at the moment for the Timberwolves with LaVine out, it's going to be even more important to get a little bit of depth.
I think
you
make
a
good point. Definitely make a good point there, Nick, with the loss of LaVine to that horrific ACL injury. I think Lance Stephenson is a nice sort of addition. He's not that old either.
No, he's only 26. He's like, you know, so yeah,
exactly. He's my age, so that's saying something.
Yeah, but you're old, mate. You're ancient. You're buying a house and stuff. You're an old man.
How am I old when I'm the same age as him, you idiot? Anyway, into some other Australian NBA news. Early in the week, news.com.au posted an article revealing that the NBA may be heading down to Australia for a preseason game in 2019. That'd be great. I might have to actually come home for that. And the two rumored cities, obviously, are Sydney and Melbourne.
Hey.
Well, I think Melbourne should get it. Hopefully,
sporting capital of Australia, mate. Of course, we should get it.
Sporting capital of the world, like, you know, we got the we kill it. And I mean, the NBL has certainly experienced a resurgence. And in terms of the NBA, apart from America, the number one league pass per capita country is Australia by far, which is saying something. The popularity of the sport is skyrocketing in terms of junior participation as well. One thing while reading this article, I'm not sure if you read it, Nick, I was interested to see which team could be the one either wanting to head down or that could head down. I mean, there's so many options. I mean, there's plenty of Aussie players playing in the NBA. I think it's 8 from memory. So it'll be interesting to see. Who would you want to see in down under playing an exhibition game in the land of Oz?
Well, I think Utah Jazz need to be there with Joe...
Thringles.
Yep, Joe Thringles and Dante Exum, who's been playing. Yep, he's actually been playing all right there, recently in the past.
He has. Yeah,
I think that little stint in the D-League did him very well. But I think the Utah Jazz have to come down. And I think the only obvious choice would be the Washington Wizards.
Spurs? Oh, come on!
I've already seen him. I would love to see him again, obviously, down under. But in terms of, like, moving to... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, showing off the league to a different country, you'd have to go with a big time, not even like a good team, but a big name. So, the Knicks, for example. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knows the New York Knicks. Carmelo would draw some. Derrick Rose, people have been following since his Chicago days, he will draw a crowd. The Knicks will draw a crowd. That being said, they are in shambles at the moment.
Yeah,
but I feel that'll fix it.
Nets Nation is the real New York team, and we're like 9-45.
But if someone big, think, even like a half-assed Golden State team.
Yeah,
because I know they do that. They do that for soccer games when they come down here. When English teams come down here, they play half a squad, and it's fine. You see your big names. Like, I went to the MCG recently. I saw Ronaldo because Real Madrid came down, played half a game.
Yeah,
I was happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Steph Curry would be what the NBL and Australia would be salivating at if they could get Steph Curry to come down here, or Kevin Durant, one of those big guys.
Definitely.
But even, like, you know, for me, you made a good point with the Utah Jazz versus the San Antonio Spurs with Patty Mills.
Yeah, Patty Mills.
And then Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he probably doesn't get the same jersey sales in Australia, but he is a bona fide star as well.
Of course, everyone.
I mean, it'll sell out. Wherever it goes, it'll sell out. But fingers crossed, we're counting down the days till 2019.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed that it took this long. I mean, what, we've had something like 5 number one draft picks in the past 10 years or something like that? I'm counting Kyrie Irving in there because he's technically Australian.
Hashtag Aussie Kyrie.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's. I think part of the reason I remember Adam Silver saying is that the preseason is a tricky thing to sort of organize around because the new CBA agreement ensures that the players get a certain amount of rest and off-season sort of time to themselves. So it's a tricky sort of thing. Whereas in the middle of the season, you know, the NBA teams have gone to London and to Mexico, and it's obviously much easier, you know, 8 hours away from America and, you know, 3 to 5 hours to Mexico, I'm assuming. Whereas, you know, 15 hours or so to Sydney or Melbourne, it's a completely different kettle of fish. But, you know, pre-season game, it's bound to sell out. But we were speaking about 2K a little bit earlier, Nicky boy. There's some news bubbling around. The NBA and Take-Two Interactive Software, the guys who made 2K17, are partnering to form a first-of-its-kind esports league centered around the NBA 2K game. Officials from both companies told ESPN on Wednesday. Nick, you're the nerd in this sense. I think you might have to take the reins on this. What do you think of this, mate?
I love the idea of esports. I've been following esports for a while. Obviously not 2K, it doesn't exist yet, but esports in America is huge. If you look at things like League of Legends, they sell out arenas, full arenas for the grand final of their what's it called, the LCS.
So what I'm assuming, Nick, it is basically what we think it is. Like two amazing gamers versing each other. They have the big screen and people are watching them sort of just do their thing.
Yeah, it would be exactly like that. There's been tournaments of FIFA and all that done in terms of a sporting game. Other than that, yeah. I haven't seen any sporting esports. I'm sure there are, of course. But things like Counter-Strike, League of Legends, World of Warcraft, PvP, they're all bona fide esports. Rocket League as well. That's an esport.
I love Rocket League.
Yeah. the stuff these guys can do, mate. But it's amazing. Like, I have never had more fun. Like, I went to PAX, which is a gaming convention a few years back.
Yeah.
And they had a massive display of League of Legends, and they just had, like, semi-pro. Because Australia has a Oceanic League as well. And there were some pros there, and it's amazing what they could do. And the American players are about a billion times better than the Australian players. And so I assume that this would only, this would translate as well into 2K. You would have two amazing stars going at it, and just being absolute freaks at the game. There's more technical skill in other games like Counter-Strike, League of Legends. But I'm sure maybe I'm just naive on the NBA 2K scale. Like, I keep thinking, how good can you actually be at 2K? But I'm sure there are absolute freaks out there.
Well, like, look at Chaz at FIFA is one of the people, like, I reckon could probably do an esports with FIFA. But like, I feel like if I practice enough 2K, this could be like my dream job, Nicholas.
You
like,
say you that, like, Jack. You say that. But the hours so you would have to sink into this game, it's complete and utter dedication. It's like a real sport. You have to live and breathe this sport to become a professional at it.
Dude, don't I already live and breathe basketball anyway?
Well, you don't, like, live and breathe 2K, though. You don't even own a PS4. And yet you've got these aspirations to become a professional 2K player.
Dream big, Nicholas, mate. Dream big. Don't crush my dreams, mate. Speaking of crushed dreams, Nick's legend, Charles Oakley, I'm sure every person who is somewhat associated with me heard about this. Charles Oakley, a Nick legend, was hauled out of MSG earlier in the week and later arrested in the tunnel after an altercation with owner James Dolan turned violent. Oakley was told by security to leave MSG to Dolan not wanting him there. They have a long history together, according to Oakley, after he was released. Members of the MSG security said the altercation was started with Oakley running his mouth towards Dolan. He was charged with three counts of misdemeanor assault and one count of criminal trespass. The Knicks came out on Twitter. The official Knicks Twitter post came out and tweeted, "Charles Oakley came to the game tonight and behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He has been ejected and is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. He was a great Nick and we hope he gets some help soon." Fan accounts, however, say he was acting quite calm, while others say he was looking for a fight. So there's been a lot of controversy to what's going on. Knicks have later come out and said that Oakley's version of accounts is pure fiction. Dolan actually came on ESPN and he was saying how Oakley has an alcohol problem and an anger problem. And in the days following, ESPN reported that the head of security at Madison Square Garden was fired, and hashtag scapegoat, if I've ever heard of one. Nick, I was listening to The Drop this week, and they said that there have been 15 non-NBA off-court related stories with the Knicks this year, this season. That is ridiculous. And then, if anything, this overshadows all of them. What do you think of this, mate?
I mean, I have been reading and listening to so much correspondence, I guess, regarding this Oakley situation, and the common denominator is that this was dealt with terribly. And I apologize to those who have listened to other podcasts and have read all these other things and watched Inside NBA and all that about this, because I'm pretty much just rehashing what, you know, it's not even what experts have said. It's just common sense. What common sense prevails in this situation? And it's that obviously this could have been done better. One.
Oh, yeah.
Two, the statement released by the Knicks during the game, like it was literally 5 minutes after this happened, it was extremely rushed, one. It was extremely insensitive, two. Not well thought out at all.
No.
I mean, for someone who, like, Charles Oakley really came on the map for me after this. Obviously, he's a Nick legend, and at MSG, he will always be beloved there. But to come out and say he was a great Nick, and we hope he gets the help, he gets some help soon, insinuating that he has some sort of personal problem, whether it be substance abuse problem or a mental health problem, which is extremely uncalled for. Like, you do not say that is, no, that is ridiculous to actually say that. Even if it were true, then it is still, it's very insensitive towards a man who put his heart and soul into your organization, and you're treating him like absolute dirt.
Yeah, and I can't echo those sentiments anymore, Nick. And I don't really know a person that isn't on hashtag Team Oakley. LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade all came out in support of him on Twitter and Instagram. And one podcast, I think it was an ESPN podcast, made the subtle comment that noticing that it was all of the Banana Boat squad, obviously Carl Anthony can't come out because he's already in a sticky enough situation that in the Knicks as well. But the fact that CP3, LeBron, and Dwayne Wade all came out in support of him is saying something. And I think the thing that bewilders me the most is that James Dolan went on ESPN, I think it was an ESPN radio program or a morning program, and did an interview. One, that decision can't be good. You know, it's not going to end well with someone with the ego of a James Dolan. If he had used the interview to defuse the situation and say, look, this is a misunderstanding, we were slightly in the wrong, you know, I welcome Charles Oakley back into the arena at any time, and we can have a discussion and build bridges. But he just poured like more fuel on the fire. He, like, just got a gas. It was like Zoolander when, like, you know, they were doing the gas fight and then they explode. That's basically what James Dolan was doing with the Charles Oakley situation. Like, yes, I see that Charles Oakley was in the wrong because there have been reports that have come out and said that he may have just gone there to, you know, sort of heckle James Dolan somewhat. But the fact that he has been banned by James Dolan directly, and that is why the head of security was fired, is a disgrace to the way that the Knicks organization is being run, for how they treat their former players. And I mean, Charles Oakley, his game that I've learned a bit more about in the following week, epitomizes grit, determination, all those sort of things that the Knicks really lack right now, and heart. And to treat a former player, I mean, you said it perfectly, mate. It's a disgrace. And James Dolan, Phil Jackson should be ashamed of themselves. And, you know, I think it was Reggie Miller saying on Twitter as well, it's like, what free agent is going to want to go to the Knicks?
Right. I mean, it severely hurts their chances to sign anyone decent in the offseason, which is what they need. They need more talent in their organization. I mean, if you create a bad environment, these young players that you've got or even hope to bring in aren't going to flourish. They're not going to enjoy themselves. They're not going to want to stay. They're not going to want to bring their friends over. Like, it's awful. That being said, I agree with, like, Oakley's not completely in the right. I mean,
not at all.
I found it weird straight away after all these events had happened that all of these people were throwing their support behind Oakley. I was very anti-Oakley when it happened because his antics were completely unacceptable. And the first half of that Nick's comment, Oakley came to the game tonight behaving highly inappropriately and in a completely abusive manner, is 100% true, and he had to leave.
Yeah.
He refused to leave, and that's when things got violent. He instigated the violence. That being said, what's inappropriate by the organization are the comments made and the fact that Dolan has taken zero responsibility for what has transpired, and Phil Jackson as well.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been...
It just could have been handled so much better.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if Oakley didn't want to leave the centre, which if by all accounts, which I agree with the accounts, because how can fans, spectators and staff all be wrong? Granted, yeah, they all work, I guess all the staff work for Dolan, but, you know, everyone's wrong. It just seems a bit sus. So I think, yeah, maybe like Oakley might have been in the wrong throwing slurs at Dolan, but they could have been handled better. I mean, a lot of professionals are saying that you know, all it takes is someone of his caliber to, you know, just tap him on the shoulder, let me speak to you at the back, and at the end of the day, if he didn't want to leave, that's when you arrest him, when he's out the back.
Yes.
In full view of everyone, it's like, oh my God, it just looks terrible.
It looked horrific. And I mean, that you could see Doc Rivers walking over, almost wanting to do something about it. There was John McEnroe, like, you know, the king of controversy, was in the front row. I heard one fan recount the fact that, like, Chris Rock was walking back from the food stand saying, wait, what the heck's going on? So it was a shambles of a situation in what has been a shambles of a season for the New York Knicks. But in some other pretty crappy news, to say the least, Nick, Bucks forward Jabari Parker has torn his ACL on the same knee, which he actually did previously in 2014. This is horrific news, not only for the Milwaukee Bucks, but I have so much... so much sympathy and empathy for Jabari Parker, because he's averaging 20-6. He's got himself back to an elite level, like he's an elite forward in this game right now.
Yep, definitely.
No scrub averages 20 points and 6 rebounds a game. Mm. It couldn't come at a worse time, and I've read plenty of articles sort of supporting him. And I mean, if time and age is on his side, he's still only 21, which is a great thing. Hopefully, and to him and Zach LaVine, they've both got that youth on their side. And, you know, we hate this. We've mentioned this before in previous podcasts. The worst thing about sport is injuries to any sport. So thoughts and prayers with Jabari Parker. And hopefully that rehab goes well. I mean, he's done it before. Let's hope he can do it again.
I mean, he was on track for possibly definitely in contention for getting most improved player. I mean, he's improved his points by 6 total average, and this injury just puts a dampener on, one, his development, and two, the Bucks' chance this year on making playoffs. I mean, it was the Antetokounmpo and Parker show down in Milwaukee, and now half of that entertainment is gone. So where does that leave them? They're in a tough situation at the moment, the Bucks. Like I said, it certainly puts a strain on that playoff spot, but hopefully he can come back. I mean, he came back from that first injury better than ever. He came back stronger, came back faster.
Yeah.
I mean, every year he's been improving, which is positive, but I feel that a second tear on the same ACL might do it. I mean, you see it in AFL all the time. The ACL goes, and it goes another 3 times. I mean, Menzel is
proof
of that. Clay Smith, 4 times on 2 different knees.
But you mentioned those 2 names, Nicholas, and both of those guys have come back to playing some amazing Aussie rules footy. So,
this is years later. Years later. Granted, it's only happened twice, but... Once it's gone, and anyone who's done their ACL will know, it's not stable anymore. It's like dislocating your shoulder the first time. It can just pop out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, and I'm going to try and maintain a positive outlook for this, because Jabari has done it before, and it's just going to be about, unlike with, like, say, a Derrick Rose, who has just no confidence in his body, you can see that. I think Jabari, with the fact that he's got youth on his side, the Milwaukee training team are absolutely top notch. So I feel that they're going to be great. And I mean, in some positive Milwaukee news, did you see that Giannis Antetokounmpo Space Jam dunk?
Yeah, just after the he jumped just after the free throw line.
Dude, and God.
And just he didn't fall down, mate. He just didn't go back down.
He flew. Soared. Yeah, and I mean, we'll move on, and we can't end NBA news with Nick Nothing and the J-Man without talking about that Warriors and Thunder game. Nick, what did you take away from this, mate?
It was a playoff game. It had all the intensity. It really felt like it was, you know, we've seen a game like that this week with the Wizards Cavs. It was such a bigger, it was so much bigger than obviously that game. But if you did watch that game, that had all the intensity of a playoff game, and this was just heightened even more. The absolute emotion that came from the crowd, Westbrook and Durant in this game, and even some of the OKC players, I mean, feeling
Robinson,
yeah, feeling the pain, I guess, that this organization has felt the past 6 months, and this all coming to fruition in this one game. And what a good game it was. It was so intense and just brilliant. I was unfortunate enough to watch it from my workstation, so I wasn't quite as comfortable or as fully engaged as I would like. But what I did see, it was very impressive. I mean, I would have liked it if it was a bit closer, obviously. But I think it's just a matter of like where these teams are at, you know.
Oh yeah, exactly.
OKC are 7th and Golden State are 1st for a reason.
Yep, and I was going to mention the same thing. But what I noticed the morning after, Nick, waking up to a lot of the Twitters, a lot of tweets of the trolling game that was happening, those cupcake T-shirts.
Oh, that was brilliant. Calling him, I've forgotten the symbolism behind the cupcake, but it's obviously a diss towards Durant. I can't remember exactly what the meaning behind it was, but then the Golden State Warriors come out with cupcake T-shirts after the game after they've won, by 20 points. So it wasn't a small victory.
And then Durant as well. The two comments that I noticed the most were in his post-game press conference with the ESPN, I believe it was, they were asking him about like his impression of the crowd reaction. He's like, oh, I thought it was going to be louder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it was pretty bloody loud, Kevin.
It was. Yeah, he would have just been saying that to stir him up. I'm pretty sure he's sick and tired of this OKC hate, so he's just going to stop trying now. So, I mean, I would.
Yeah.
He's gonna, and then there's another one. If he's the bad guy, you're going to play the bad guy.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, The only thing that sort of reminds me of this is LeBron and Cleveland, but then LeBron went back to Cleveland and always planned on that. But another thing with Kevin Durant was on Draymond Green's Snapchat, and I saw this before anyone sort of posted on ESPN or anything, the amount of security that Kevin Durant had at the hotel and going towards the game was something to behold. And in relation to the cupcake thing, my favorite comment was he was asked about, he's like, oh, next time, I hope they have some red velvet ones for me out because that's my favorite. And I'm like, nice choice, Kevin. I'm a red velvet cupcake fan myself.
Good on you, man. I'm more of a... No, actually, you know chocolate. What? I would go for red velvet as well.
It's a quality cupcake. It depends. Cupcake. Like, I had a really nice one.
Can you have
one
cheese
at,
cupcakes? Or is it like cheese? Cheesecake cupcakes?
Cheesecake cupcakes?
Oh, because that would...
Nick, you've... You've stumbled upon something there, my friend.
They would literally just be tarts, I guess.
It doesn't matter. During this break, I'm going to go and look up some recipes for cheesecake cupcakes. We'll be right back with DP of the Week.
You're listening to JVT Podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes.
Welcome back to JVT Podcast. We'll start off here, mate, with some discussion points of the week. Yeah. In some trade news, mate, we've got the Pelicans are looking to acquire someone to pair with Anthony Davis. Some possible people on the market, namely Jahlil Okafor and Brook Lopez. Mate, your boy.
No!
Rollo, what would you do if he left? Let's not talk about the Pelicans at the moment. What would happen to the organization of the Brooklyn Nets if Brook Lopez left. You would no longer be Brook Lynn.
Oh, we would just be Lynn. We'd need to get someone like Aaron Brooks on our team so we could be Brooklyn again. Yeah, look, I'd be horrifically disappointed. But at the same time, if we were to get a decent deal for him, I'd understand because I back what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson are doing with our organization right now. But I don't underestimate the value of Brook Lopez's locker room presence and his leadership. He is an he's underrated. Yes, he doesn't get a lot of rebounds and all these things, but that Brook block the other night on the Miami Heat was fucking one of the most ridiculous blocks I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I'd miss him like crazy. It'd be like for you if John Wall were to leave the Wizards. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, your biggest player leaves your organization. It's always going to be a little bit sad, of course. But if you do get some nice picks out of it, you know, the Pelicans could finish quite low this season. So you might get, I don't know whether they'll be looking to give up any of this season picks. I actually don't even know if they've got picks or whether they've traded them off. Yep. If they do have their picks, I don't know whether they'll look to trade this season's or next season's. But you might be able to establish some sort of a future. Get some draft picks back in Brooklyn.
Well, I think a lot of teams this year are very hesitant to trade this year's picks because there's talk that this class is the best in a decade since the LeBron, Melo, D-Wade class. So, I'd love for the Brooklyn Nets to get back into the draft game, but at the same time, you know, Caris LeVert and Isaiah Whitehead are doing some nice things, and it would have been nice to get Tyler Johnson. I hope we go hard after an Otto Porter, but this isn't about the Nets anyway. But I do like the fit of Brook Lopez and or, I don't think it'd be and or, but or Jahlil Okafor with Anthony Davis. I mean, the center that they've had in Anthony Davis's tenure with the Pelicans has been Omer Asik, so I think an Okafor, a young offensive big man, and Brook Lopez, a seasoned veteran who just gets buckets no matter what. And plus he can stretch the floor now. It would be a tremendous upgrade and would certainly elevate the Pelicans to a much higher standing than what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I don't think of the big three that the 76ers have, I feel that Jahlil Okafor would be the least likely to succeed, if that makes sense. Not like they're all going to succeed, but in terms of actually maybe starting a franchise with them, obviously you've got Joel Embiid, that's pretty much a lock. Nerlens Noel, very, very capable human.
not just basketball, a human.
He's a very capable human. So I think putting Jahlil Okafor in a place where there's already, let's admit, he's already an established star in this league. Pairing them together, taking a bit of heat off Okafor, I reckon it'll work well. More so than Brook Lopez. That being said, Brook Lopez can bring a lot of experience to a relatively young Pelicans team. So
There's pros and cons to both, but there's also been talks about Jahlil Okafor possibly going to the Bulls, and he was rested last night, I think, in their game against the Heat due to some trade rumors and the possibility of that happening. And I mean, Brett Brown had a talk to him, so it looks likely that Jahlil Okafor by next week's podcast over the All-Star break may be no longer a 76er, but we'll wait and see. Watch this space at JBT for more news.
Too easy, mate. That was brilliant. Good stuff. We'll move on
to the small forwards.
Yeah, we'll move on. Obviously, as the weeks have progressed, we've been ranking all of the different positions in the league. We've gone through all the guards. We've gone to the centers and power forwards. There's only one spot left. And so we've kind of made a joint list here. And I guess we've compromised in a sense. Jack initially made the list, and I'm like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm still not 100% on the list, but I'm willing to concede because everything is relatively where I would put it. So I'm going to, like, what you hear is what I agree with. So that's completely fine. So Jack, do you want to do the, I'll do 10 to six and you can do the top five seeing as it's your list. Beautiful. So at 10, we've got Andrew Wiggins, 9, Jay Crowder, 8, Otto Porter, 7, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and 6, Jimmy Butler. I think I took the bottom five because you couldn't pronounce Antetokounmpo.
Probably. one thing before moving on to the top five. 4 to 7 was the hardest for me and us to come up with because Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Giannis, all Giannis especially, his ceiling, he could be number one.
He could be, yeah.
Top three very soon.
I would have put him a little bit higher, but I digress. Go on, mate.
Yeah, I think his lack of experience is something that this is his first sort of his first sort of big year, whereas these other guys have been doing it for a lot longer. So following on, number 5, Paul George, number 4, Gordon Hayward, number 3, Kawhi Leonard, and the top 2 should be no surprise. Number 2, Kevin Durant, and number 1, LeBron James.
LeBron
should get his own number, mate. Like, yeah. It's the LeBron.
So, number 3, LeBron. Number 2, and number 23.
Good call, mate. Well, argue with me here, Nick. It's a discussion point for a reason. We'll have a little bit of a debate about what you think could have changed in terms of the ranking of them, because I really struggled to have Jimmy Butler as low as 6, but the reason I did was his consistency in comparison to Gordon Hayward and Paul George is lacking. Giannis was at 7 due to the fact that this is his first sort of breakout season. And I think if we were to do this list at the end of the season, there could be a different sort of ranking.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I have a little bit of issue with Gordon Hayward. I think he's an amazing forward. Don't get me wrong. He's an amazing shot of the ball. But and I've said this before, and you've disagreed with me flat out, but I still don't see it. His impact on the court and his maybe not quite his impact, maybe that's not the right word, but I don't know how to explain it. It is
I think the other
players on his team are as important as him. That's a good way to explain it. George Hill on this team has been absolutely amazing. Rudy Gobert on the Jazz is more important, I think, than Gordon Hayward.
I agree.
His impact on this team isn't as great as, say, Jimmy Butler's impact on the Bulls. So that's why I would have probably had him higher. Or Paul George's on the Pacers, especially recently. Paul George has absolutely been balling.
Slow start, but
he's absolutely killing it now, but I would probably have those two higher than Gordon Hayward, and I would have no problems dropping Hayward down to 6.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. The only I think I was slightly influenced by the winning record that the Utah Jazz have been having this season. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Bulls have been a bit of a shambles, and that has been in part due to Jimmy Butler. His on-court prowess has been often overshadowed by some of his comments off the court. And there's been times where he hasn't backed up his words. Like, he's had those comments and then he would back it up with like a 2-point game of like 1 of 12 from the field. And for me, that isn't a top five small forward in this league. That's not what a top five power forward does. He's on one of the best contracts in the league, no doubt. But I still think Paul George is a better player than Jimmy Butler. And Paul George's worst isn't as bad as Jimmy Butler's worst. Same with Gordon Hayward. I think just because, I'm probably influenced a little bit by the system. So that's why I was sort of saying 4 to 7 were probably the hardest. And I mean, it was tough as well. We were debating a little bit about that number 10 spot. Some Knicks fans might be a bit unhappy with the lack of Carmelo Anthony in there. But we sort of, you know, at the age that he is right now, the impact that he's having, he's still one of the best flat-out scorers in this list. But Andrew Wiggins is doing some great things for the Timberwolves and is in a similar mold to a Jimmy Butler, I think. That's where his ceiling could probably go. I think he's got a high ceiling, probably not as high as a Giannis. But I would have been a bit uncomfortable if I had have left out Andrew Wiggins on this list.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I think I enticed you a little bit to put in Wiggins, future star of the league. He's been getting up a little bit recently, and obviously last year he showed potentially what he could become. Up a lot of 30-point games. I don't necessarily have his stats up here exactly, but he was absolutely outstanding last year. Bit of a slow start this season. Maybe a bit of a plateau, but he's still super young. And that, you know, the world's his oyster.
There's some times this season where he's just left his imprint. Yes, he's had some down games, a la Jimmy Butler, like. But there's that one game that sticks in my mind against the Phoenix Suns. I remember being at home watching this game, and he just took it upon himself to win the Timberwolves the game. He was playing a little bit of ISO ball with PJ Tucker. He took him off the dribble, looked like he was going to fall down, regained his balance, and just nailed that shot. That's something that, you know, a top 10 small forward does. And Mel has done that throughout his career. If we were doing this list 2 years ago, Mel would certainly be on this list. But right now, as much as probably the Clippers would probably like to think, he's probably not in that top 10 list. You could have him, you know, Jay Crowder and Otto Porter out of there, but they've just had better seasons this year. Jay Crowder is one of the best defensive small forwards and best all-round sort of skill set of these. Otto Porter is the best three-point shooter out of this list. I mean, you've mentioned that a quadrillion times on this podcast.
He's the best statistical three-point shooter in the league right now, mate.
Yes, Nick,
I was just
going to
touch on Otto Porter because obviously he's having an amazing season this year. But for him to infiltrate the top 10 small forwards in the league, that is a big... That's a big jump for him, for someone who averages 9 career points per season, per game, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going by career points, Nick, like, Jay Crowder probably wouldn't be. And, like, Andrew Wiggins would probably be 8th behind Giannis. But I just think Otto Porter, he's going to be getting a max deal, whether it be from the Nets, whether it be from you guys at the Wizards. I just really like what he's doing this season. And it pains me to say that, you know, giving your boys and the Wizards some credit, but they're doing some great things, and he's definitely shining under Scott Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, pull up a little bit of stats here, mate. He's 53% from the field and 46% from three.
That's not bad.
Only scoring 14 points per game, but with efficiency like that, my God, it's only because he's the third string player in this team. Possibly even, I might actually put him below Gortat, so fourth string, third string shooter, I'd say.
And then,
but he's definitely not like key. Not the major piece in this part. If he was
a focal point, a top two focal point on a team, he could. Yes, his percentages would probably go down because he's not getting the quality of looks, but who knows? He's certainly got a great ceiling, similar to a Giannis Antetokounmpo. But, Nicky boy, the all-star celebrity rosters were announced, if it could be called that. But me and you and I, we disliked the rosters so much, and we didn't know any celebrities on it apart from, like, Mark Cuban and, like, Lil Romeo and Master P and some guy from apparently the new Triple X movie. I was listening. I'm like, I don't know any of these scrubs.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw
Jason Williams.
Sorry, go on.
And Jason Williams, who is a legit, like, former basketballer, and there's obviously always a WNBA star as well. But, like, this wasn't a celebrity list, mate. There's no Kevin Hart either. I mean, Magus wouldn't be unhappy about that, so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kevin Hart is a staple. I mean, you got to have Kevin Hart.
And, I mean, shout out to our boys at the Starters. I mean, heck, are they still not going to gig there?
Yeah, I know. It's get those guys in. They can actually ball as well. Get Lee Ellis just shooting some threes. We shooting bricks, man.
And Taco Trey Kirby, he's got some length about him. He's like, I'd be like Trey, you'd probably be more of a Skeets Lee player. But so in honor of this, we've come out with our own rosters. So I'll go through mine, 1 to 12. And I've got Queen Latifah, Michelle Obama, Prince, Denzel Washington, J. Cole, Jason Segel, Britney Spears, Snoop Doggy Dizzle, Will Ferrell, The Biebs, Justin Bieber, Tool Chains, and of course, no Ross All-Star roster balling list would be complete without the GOAT himself, President Obama. Former President Obama, I digress. But Nikki boy, what do you got? We came up with your list a little bit earlier.
Can I just mention something? I've only just noticed it now. I'm sorry if this makes you look like a fool, or myself look like a fool.
A feel.
Did you say Prince?
Yes.
Prince
is deceased. I know.
The musician, I'm Prince.
I'm bringing him back, mate, for this All-Star game. He can ball from beyond the grave.
So you just got to have a lifeless corpse on the court. Yeah, great
He'd
D.
be better than Mark Cuban, let's put it that way.
So you're playing with 11 players because you're choosing to have a dead man on your team.
Hey, he'd play better defense than James Harden.
All right, well, we'll go through my list. And this is based primarily on who played basketball in high school, college, wherever they played. So they've got some experience.
And then some other ones.
Yes, and then some other ones. For example, Hillary Clinton is in my team, and Donald Trump. So yeah, I've got two political powerheads there. And I just
We should have swapped Hillary into my team and, like, you have Michelle and I have Hillary, because then, like, you know, they could go one-on-one. I reckon Hillary would have some fire about her. I reckon she'd be really scrappy.
Nah, I reckon she'd be nice to your face and then stab you and, like, trip you when you turned around.
Damn straight, some Metal World Peace style.
Yeah, she's like really spiteful. And Donald Trump obviously will build a wall and separate the two teams.
That defense would be amazing.
the wall defense. Oh man!
Who else you got?
I got Edward Norton, R. Kelly. R. Kelly, a bit of a like cops will be right up his case. Sarah Palin, same deal. Jason Sudeikis, I reckon he'll get on the court and become your best friend, and lull you into a false insecurity before his 6'6" frame dunks on you. Because he's a big man.
He is quite large. I mean, I've seen him at some Knick games when I've been to the MSG, and he's always there with Olivia Wilde and stuff. So he can certainly ball, and he has balled in a previous All Star game. So get him out there.
Yep. Who else we got? David Duchovny, Nelly, Jamie Foxx, Lindsay Lohan, fresh out of rehab. Nah. George Clooney, and Brad Pitt. They're going to bring a bit of class to my All Star game.
See, that is a celebrity. Those are celebrity rosters right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they could. Oh, my God. If I feel that the celebrity All Star game that they came up with, they had a current celebrity All Star game, and then every one of them said no, except for Mark Cuban. I'm sure he would have been up there anyway.
And Master P. I mean, I'm intrigued here if our teams were to play, who would win? And I like the matchup of Britney Spears on Lindsay Lohan. I think that'd be like KD and LeBron-esque. There'd be some fire going there.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, if these two teams... Can you imagine the reception that the Prez would get dunking over the current Prez?
That'd be amazing.
Man.
We need to make or get Chaz or someone to make a meme this week for us to promote the episode of President Obama dunking on Donald Trump. That'd be amazing.
Brilliant. But question, would Donald Trump have like a special sporting toupee? Like one that's already set up into a little headband or something?
I was about to say that.
Because if he wore a headband, his toupee would just come flying off.
Exactly, yeah. I think the toupee would be embedded in the headband.
And his fake tan would run all down his face. It looked like he'd be crying orange tears.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he would be when Obama's dunking and shooting in his face. One matchup I'd like to see is Justin Bieber on Donald Trump. I'd want to, because Biebs has some nice handles, and I'd want to see him cross him up. And even like a Denzel on Donald Trump would be pretty sweet as well.
I would absolutely froth to see Obama like just posterize Sarah Palin or something like that.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, but then, like, man.
I've got too much. Sarah I've got Palin... too much politics in my goddamn team.
Well, mate, we're politicians are the new celebrities now that there's a celebrity bloody president. Let's move on, though. I reckon. Okay, before we go on, who do we reckon is going to win this one? Out of my roster and yours, I'll go through mine quickly. We've got Queen Latifah, Michelle Obama, Prince, Denzel Washington, J. Cole, Jason Segel, Britney Spears, Snoop Dogg, Will Ferrell, Justin Bieber, 2 Chainz, and President Obama.
And I have Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Edward Norton, R. Kelly, Sarah Palin, Jason Sudeikis, David Duchovny, Nelly, Jamie Foxx, Lindsay Lohan, George Clooney, and Brad Pitt. I would definitely win the swag competition, if that beeth a thing.
Yeah, I mean, Denzel and Obama have some serious swag.
Yeah, but I got Jamie Foxx, I got George Clooney, I got Brad Pitt, yeah. I got Donald Trump.
Them red power ties.
Man, I've got a swag team. I got R. Kelly too, he's got swag. He's got like 90s rapper swag.
He's also got molestation swag.
nothing better than that. I got Donald Trump too. Double molestation.
No, that would not be a good combo. R. Kelly and Donald Trump. Oh god. Let's get on to game of the week before we divulge into something completely different. Nick, I'll let you take the game of the week here, mate, because it's something close to your heart.
It's my bread and butter. Unfortunately, it did break my heart a little bit. The Cavaliers at the Wizards saw an overtime game end with a Cavaliers win, 140-135, breaking the Wizards' 17-game home streak, leaving the goddamn Heat with the longest running streak in the NBA, and that just can't happen. And LeBron sending the game into OT, shooting a spinning fadeaway three-point shot off the glass from the corner over Bradley Beal. It's as crazy as it sounds. If you have not seen the footage, which I'm 100% sure that every single person listening to this podcast has seen that shot, it's a contender for shot of the season, and that game was just an incredible game, contender for game of the season. Leaving my Wizards bias aside, this game had all of the hype and excitement of a playoff game. By the third quarter, fourth quarter, it was really, really jumping. Both teams were shooting well from three as well. Bradley Beal lit it up. Obviously, like Kyrie sealing the game in the end. He's got ice in his veins, that guy. It really annoys me because he wasn't shooting that well, and then as soon as it gets into the clutch, he can find a way to hit those 3-point shots, which is frustrating.
It was when LeBron sort of fouled out that he sort of took over
that game. Yeah.
And one thing, I was listening to the Cleveland Cavaliers podcast with Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, and they had Kevin Love on, and they're like, so basically, Kev, everyone knows you now for your like outlet passes. He seriously has some ridiculous outlet pass. Like that one to LeBron James, it was literally cross court. Three-quarter court pass, right on point, allowing LeBron to get a shot off.
Yeah, it was amazing. There was nothing that we could do to stop the pass and the shot. The only thing I could have possibly thought is what was Bradley Beal doing on LeBron James?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what defender you're put on him. A fadeaway spin jump shot from three... You're not blocking that. You're not stopping that.
No.
There's nothing more we could have done. We went up. We were up by one. We got the Markieff Morris got the putback. I think it was Markieff Morris got the putback, put us one in front, and then they missed their shot and fouled us. So we got two free throws, John Wall sunk them both. We're three up, 3.5 seconds left. We just, no one was expecting the bullet pass from Kevin Love, which I don't think, I think is being very understated. I think that was like an amazing pass. And then obviously the shot was just incredible. I couldn't believe what just happened, what had just happened. I was in shock. Everyone in the bloody Verizon Center was just completely in awe of what they had just seen. And it just proves that he is the greatest player in the game right now because he can do stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's hoping that we get a seven-game series out of that. But after the break, we'll be back with JB Team of the Week.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheJManJBT.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Start off here with JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we pick a fantasy basketball team for the week just gone. My voice went a little high there. That was weird. Anyway, one player. Oh, I did it again. Sorry. One player per position. Oh, I'm going through puberty again. Not this again. Bloody hell. So at the point guard position, we've got Russell Westbrook today in a loss against the Warriors, seeing KD come back to Oklahoma. He almost put up a triple-double, not quite, but he still put up 47 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists in a crazy game.
I would have argued here with you, Nick, to leave Russell Westbrook's other triple-double performance, his 26, I think it was, of the year in there. Because
yeah, but it was only a 29-point it was only a 29-point triple-double. Only,
but he didn't have 11 turnovers as he did in this game.
He did have 11 turnovers, but I just thought he shot well, his percentage was well, and 47 points is just—it's amazing. It's 3 points off 50.
Fair enough.
It's 13 points off 60. It's 53 points off 100. I mean, come on, mate.
Shut up with your maths. I thought you were not good at maths. Who's shooting up?
Engineering. Kyle Korver at shooting guard, truly looking at home in this new Cleveland outfit, scoring 29 points with 83% from the field and 89% from three. Those are legitimate numbers, people. 89% from the three, shooting 29 points. I mean, you put a few more shots in him, and that's an easy 4-point game, 40-point game. That's an incredible effort from Kyle Korver there. Do you want to take the front court, mate?
Got it. In the Crazy Wiz game we were speaking about earlier, LeBron James had a career-high 17 assists to go along with his 32 points. Power forward, we got Draymond Green with an NBA first-ever historical triple-double with fewer than 10 points. He had 4 points, but he had a triple-double with 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals. Something none of us have ever seen watching basketball. That was just an historic performance.
It really annoyed me, that game. Like, it pissed me off because the selfish prick couldn't manage to get 6 more goddamn points to get to get the first ever quadruple-double that me and I'm sure many others have ever seen. 6
and
points,
Nick,
Jackie. That's all he needed to do. 3
points.
Oh, buckets.
I know, Nick. And by the way, it is an historic. I've asked plenty of people.
It's a historic.
Okay.
It's like, you don't say an history report. You say a history report.
You're wrong, Nick.
I'm not wrong. Say I'm going to do a history report today.
I have asked.
Say it, Jack.
Who is like an English major. I've asked my father, who is like one of the smartest men on
earth. Your father.
I hate you so much. It's an historic. I'm going to Google this right on our next break.
Say it, Jack.
And at center,
say
I'm going to do an history report.
It's not right. It's not an
You're not
history
right. Your
report.
Your life isn't right.
What?
You suck. I hate you. At center, we have Anthony Davis.
This is not over.
Well, yeah. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, which is you. at center, we had Anthony Davis with the massive 42 points and 13 rebound game to knock off the Timberwolves. In that same game, Karl-Anthony Towns got 36 in a true battle of the young bigs. Moving on to Saturday, the week before Nick rips my audio out because I'm pissing him off so much. In that OT thriller, LeBron James against the Wizards became the first player ever in NBA history to rank in the top 20 in points. He is now 8th. In assists, he is 13th. And in steals, he rose up to 20th. That's saying something for a man who has probably one of the best skill sets we have ever seen in the history of this game. Nicky boy, let's get to our random off topic. And it isn't about English grammar. It is about love stuff.
Love stuff. Okay. Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
In honor of Valentine's Day, Nicholas, other than basketball, what else do you love apart from me?
Well, that's just not true.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Anywho, what else do I love, mate? Well, I think it's no mystery to anyone that I do love food.
Food, I was going to say you.
Food is it's a lovely invention. It's a beautiful gift. I sometimes get very emotional with my food.
Have you ever cried eating like?
Oh, like, if a food this is going to sound weird. If the Nando's roll is on point, then it will bring tears to my eyes.
Oh, you fat prick! I love you so much.
Like, if the chips are golden brown and the bun is, like, hard and crunchy but soft in the middle.
Nick, we're going to have some fun at Cheeky Nando's when you make your way over to the home of Cheeky when you get over here, mate. But, yes, I do love my food as well. Big fan of – I'm a big dessert man. I love me some burgers and stuff. I made a – there's a Bob's Burgers cookbook that Ali got me for Christmas. And it has, like – you know all those joke recipes that are on the board?
You mean like the child molester?
Yeah, there's one that I made that was called the, and it's because it's got all the recipes. It's awesome. It's called the foot feta ish burger, and it's got feta in it. I made it. It was on point, mate. So everyone who knows me knows that I'm obsessed with burgers. So I love burgers. I love family and friends to be sappy and shit. I also love television. And just the nature of modern technology that allows us to watch television and download television, and also just the ability of that we can do a podcast while I'm on the other side of the world as well, thanks to the wonderful world of social medias and.
So I guess it's not so much television you love; it's you love modern technology.
I do, Nicholas. I'm in awe of it.
It's a beautiful thing.
There are many things that I love. I love owning, and I mean, this is somewhat related to basketball. I love socks and NBA socks, Stance socks. I know you know this about me.
Yes. Yes, I do.
My sock game is something to behold. Sock swag, as I like to call it. I'm a big sock fan. I know you like your pants, but I love my socks. I'm right now wearing some NBA Stance socks that I bought from the New York City NBA store, the flagship store. They're the LeBron James player ones. They are very comfortable, and they have the sort of cartoony picture of LeBron James. They're my new favorite sticky boy.
But I ask you, Jack, how much did you pay for said socks?
$13-14 Australian dollars.
I am not paying more than $10 for a pair of socks. I do not understand the fascination, like your fascination with socks, like. They get covered by your shoes. So get good shoes.
Mate, I mean, I've got my shoe game is also on point. Speaking of, I saw someone yesterday I was doing my Saturday basketball wearing the John Walls, and I'm like, Nick would like that.
Beautiful.
I think I took a Snapchat of it. I love my NBA shoes and stuff as well, but I don't know, socks are a lovely way of expressing one's personality, Nicholas. So yes, I mean, and I love the internet as well as part of that technology thing. Like the internet is just, I think one thing that being our generation, I mean, you call me an old bastard, but I'm like 4 years older than you. but we are at that point in our lives where we understand how awesome it is because we can value it and know what it was somewhat like without it. But kids growing up these days, like these kids, that I'm teaching and stuff, they just take it for granted. Speaking of, you would like this. I got one of my classes that I was teaching on Wednesday in a rapture because I dabbed Nicholas. I love to dab. I have a dabbing
problem. No.
Yes,
no.
Nicholas. Dab is live.
The dab is alive and well, mate.
Dab till I die. Maggers. Me and you, mate. We've got our dab. The dab. Our dab handshake.
But this isn't what about. Dab. This isn't what we hate, mate. This is what we love.
And this I love, mate. Dab.
I'll give you a bit of a strange one, Jack.
Go, mate.
Hand sanitizer.
Hand
sanitizer. Like, I don't actually love hand sanitizer. I love the feeling of putting hand sanitizer on open cuts.
Yes.
So have you ever had like little cuts on your hand and then you go to sanitize your hand and it stings and burns and it kills? It's like antiseptic. It's like that burn of antiseptic. I love that burn. Love it, mate. This went to a very strange place very quickly.
it did. I was talking about dabbing, and now we're talking about like
masochism.
Pain. You're gonna go like watch 50 Shades of Grey and some BDS shim SM shit with fucking Chelsea later. She'll be whipping you with fucking. She'll be like pouring hand sanitizer all over you while you guys are getting frisky.
That's good stuff. I love the burn. I love. It's like the pain of being clean. Like, this is going to sound really dark, but I love the pain. It's like, it's doing something. It's cleaning your hands. And then you feel really good afterwards. I don't know. I'm a strange man, but
I surely
cannot be alone with this. Like, I've had weird looks from my employees because that's where we have hand sanitizer. And whenever I work in a liquor store, so I get little cuts, paper cuts, cardboard cuts, all stuff like that. And I rub my hands on hand sanitizer, and I'm there like my hands are like I'm shaking and stuff. And they just look at me weird. I'm just like, oh, it's so good.
All right.
Yeah.
this is a challenge for us, Nick, you sick bastard. While during this week, I mean, we couldn't get to International Horse. The weather here in London is horrific. Other than doing an International Horse video, I want you to do a sensual video of you putting some hand sanitizer on, and I'll do a video of me just like dabbing till I die, till I pass out.
Please don't dab. Like, don't dab. Don't do it, mate. You're above that.
Dab till I die. We'll be right back with social media and the dab BS.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We'll start with our social media section. And alas, nothing, Jack.
Nada.
What is happening, peoples? We've had Stelios come on our Facebook page, but no real questions to ask us, but more commentary. We still love the commentary, but we can't really mention it on the podcast. But we do appreciate those posts there, Stelios. We like keeping engaged with you, so quality stuff there. Just as a reminder to you guys out there, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast, hashtag JBT Pod. You're using that hashtag. Our Facebook is facebook.com/JBT Podcast. If you're not already on there, chuck us a like. It helps us out a lot. Share our posts, get your friends involved, all that good stuff. You can hit us up on Gmail as well, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on our personal Twitters, and these are the ones that we check the most. So if you ever want to talk to us, chat, got any questions that you want us to post on the podcast, you can hit us up at JBT Real NJ. That's myself, and Jack is at the J-Man JBT. So we've got all these outlets. Hit us up. Let's fill this section up so we can have a quality podcast with you guys involved. But without further ado, Jack, let's start our DBS. So DBS, for those of you who are new to the podcast, here's how it works. We've been given three NBA players, both past and present, and we have to decide who we... And future. And we have to decide who we drop, bench, and start. It's that simple. So our three players came to us via a Clutch Points article. Article meme, I guess. Wouldn't really call it an article. Anyway, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, and Blake Griffin, some of the best power forwards that this league has to offer. So, Jack, who have you got? Why? All that good stuff.
People are going to be very surprised with my list, including Maggers and including John and including myself a little bit. I think I've started to get a little bit more objective in this. So I'm dropping Blake Griffin, I'm benching Anthony Davis, and I'm starting Draymond Green. The reason why I'm starting Draymond Green is because he, as a teammate, is going to make the players around him better. That triple-double performance early in the week is evident of that. He has the best all-round skill set of these three players. He's probably the best three-point shooter out of them. He doesn't need the ball in his hands a lot. He's the best playmaker out of these three. So that's why I'm starting him. I really value his skill set as much as I don't value his personality overall. And I'm benching Davis because I just think he's a better player than Blake Griffin right now. Blake Griffin, with his injury history, yes, Anthony Davis has it somewhat as well. I just think that in terms of having a better player on my roster, I'm going to have Anthony Davis over Blake Griffin any day of the week. Just
you can't,
personal preference.
You can't do that to Davis, though. Like, I can understand the toss-up between Blake Griffin and Draymond Green. I mean, I had that bit of a mental battle myself. But you got to start Davis. I mean, that's exactly what I've done. He is the center of the future, and he's like, this is in terms of like, I want to start him to build his to build him as a player, and he is already better than both of these players. That's why I've put him as my starter.
He's not a better passer than Draymond Green.
No, of course not. He's also not a better 3-point shooter than Draymond Green. Draymond Green has him on those. Like, Draymond Green is an amazing assister, amazing defender. He's a better defender. But in terms of like being a star, I guess, like an absolute superstar, Davis is going to headline my team. He's going to lead them to championships. I have every faith in Anthony Davis and what he's doing with the Pelicans. He just needs the right team around him. But sky's the limit for this guy. He's averaging 27 points a game. These are boogie numbers. These are the best center in the league numbers. 12 rebounds, only 2 assists, but what are you going to do? Shooting 50% from the field as a center, that's pretty good. 51% effective field goal percentage. He is an amazing offensive center. That's why I'm starting him. Obviously, Draymond Green has it is the best defensive player of these three, which is why it was so hard to drop him. So I've dropped Draymond Green and I've benched Blake Griffin. Similar reasons to Anthony Davis, like Blake Griffin's star power and his sheer offensive brilliance, I guess. This season and last season, you know, injury woes were there, but he is still an amazing player. And I got reminded of that, one, through Maggers, because when I did, a few weeks ago, I did a bit of a draft, and I was struggling to find a power forward, like a good power forward. And I ended up picking Paul Millsap, but I completely forgot about Blake Griffin. I've seen some highlights of what he has done, and it just kind of... I always knew that he... because I knew he was this good a player, but I think I just needed help reminding me of how good Blake Griffin actually is. So I'm benching him and dropping Draymond Green, but that decision there, that was hard. To bench Green, and I love Draymond Green. He's one of my favorite players in the league, even for his antics. I don't care. He will go above and beyond for his teammates, and that's what I love about him. But I like Griffin's spunk better, I guess, if that's the word.
Yeah. It is. It's a dirty word, but it is a word.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel that you can't not start Davis.
The only reason I wouldn't start Davis is that he's still quite young, 23 years old, only a little bit older than yourself. And I get your reasoning, and I agree with it. It's just that I just value Green's skill set a little bit more than Davis's. It's always hard, the DBS segment, because like, how do we do our picks? Do we base it off who's the best player? Do we base it off who's going to be the best coming off the bench? Do we base it off like who has the best skill set? Who's the best passer, defender? So I just went this week. I could have easily dropped Green like you did, but when I came up with this, I just initially just went with my gut, and I just stuck with it. But I could have, like when we did with like LeBron James, KD, and Kawhi, tossed up between these three just as difficult.
Yeah. I mean, so long as you can justify it. I mean, I've put Davis as my start. I mean, offensively and even defensively, obviously not as good as the other two, but in a very poor season, seasons I should say, with the Pelicans, he still managed a positive defensive plus minus, and obviously offensive plus minus, because that's what he's more known for. But he has a 2.2 defensive plus minus from a team that loses, what, 40% of games? Less? Who has a 40% win rate? Probably less than that. Probably 35% win rate. So that is amazing to keep a defensive box score that high.
Yeah, he's a star.
Yeah, I mean, he's out and out star, and 23 years old. I mean, jeez, imagine if he gets as old as Blake Griffin 3 years' time and Draymond Green in 5 years' time. Oh, sorry, 3 years' time as well. It's going to be scary. Joel Embiid kind of grow together. This league is going to be promising in the next 3 years. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. The future is bright in terms of young bigs, Nicholas. Is there anything, I know you normally say this, but is there anything else you wanted to say, Nicholas?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It was a good episode today, Jack, but I'll do the outro. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes or any decent pod center, and remember to rate and review the show. You'll get a shout out on the show, and it helps other people find us and add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in touch with us personally on Twitter, and that's the ones we use majority. At JBT Real NJ is myself, and at the JMan JBT is Jack. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast or Instagram at JBT Pod, and also through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. So remember, guys, it's you that make this show great. Our social media segment is nothing, literally nothing, without you guys. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.